Marion Blakey says her next-gen czar will have Jim and Phil on speed dial. A fire at Miami International looked bad, but there are no injuries or delays. And Palm Springs is finally assimilated into the SoCal Tracon. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 12th, 2007. Federal Aviation Administration Administrator Marion Blakey addressed the U.S. Senate on Wednesday to talk about JPDO, the Joint Planning and Development Office, which will be tasked with developing the next-generation air traffic control system for the U.S. She told senators the agency has worked for 2 years to get the JPDO running. And Wednesday, she announced the selection of Charlie Bergman as executive director of JPDO. Quote, he has a lifelong career in aviation since graduating from the United States Air Force Academy. Charlie has worked at the Pentagon, the Airline Pilots Association, and has 4,200 hours in the cockpit. He knows the system, unquote. And for those things he doesn't know, Blakey says Bergman will, quote, have Jim and Phil on speed dial, unquote, referring to May of the Air Transport Association and Boyer of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Blakey reinforced her premise that NextGen can't proceed without a user fee-based funding mechanism and reminded senators that the countdown clock stood at 81 days until current FAA authorization expires. You can read the full text of the administrator's comments in the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. If you were a VFR pilot trying to spot Miami International Airport on the horizon Wednesday afternoon, for a while you had an unmistakable visual waypoint, a thick black plume of smoke rising from an unoccupied control tower. Airport spokesman Greg Shin says the building is a new gate assignment tower, part of a new north terminal for American Airlines, scheduled to open in 2011. A roofing crew spilled a tar pot, igniting the roof, according to the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Chin confirmed the fire did not affect regular flight operations. The FAA was scheduled to throw the switch sometime Wednesday in California and begin handling Palm Springs radar from the Southern California Terminal Radar Approach Control in Miramar near San Diego. The controllers' union said there wasn't enough staff. Senators whose districts lie under the affected airspace tried to block it, but the FAA says it has to happen to save money. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown says the track record for consolidated facilities is good so far. Quote, we've been able to provide the same or better service in the consolidated facilities, unquote. The Palm Springs Desert Sun quoted Ham Ghaffari, regional vice president for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Quote, I'm still not happy with the staffing situation at the SoCal Tracon, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel, unquote. NATCA noted that errors at SoCal have quadrupled the past 5 years, due to understaffing. California Senators Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein have both fought to delay the consolidation until the FAA's ongoing labor dispute with its controllers is resolved and a full complement of qualified controllers is on staff. There are few details so far, but it was reported Wednesday that a Piper Navajo piston twin made an emergency landing in a wooded area 12 miles from Orlando International Airport and was destroyed in a subsequent fire. It's not clear whether Orlando International was the planned destination. Unlike Tuesday's Cessna 310 crash in Sanford, Florida, the pilot of the Navajo walked away from the Wednesday incident with what WFTV News in Orlando described as a wrist injury. He was the plane's lone occupant, and no other injuries were reported. The pilot has been identified as 54-year-old John LaBella of Cape Canaveral, Florida. He reported engine problems and then managed to set the plane down intact, but barely escaped before the fire broke out. Video from Orlando's CBS 4 TV showed a resulting brush fire, but firefighters were reportedly able to contain it quickly. Up next on ANN, a tragedy in suburban Atlanta involves a former air traffic controller. The RAF puts the Eurofighter Typhoon to work in its Quick Reaction Alert Unit, and U.S. Marines log another first for the Osprey. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Hi, this is Tom Gresham. I'm the host of Wings to Adventure TV. Now, you may love airplanes, but let me tell you, you've never seen anything till you've seen them in high definition. We're shooting the whole thing in native, real 1080i high def, and it is cool. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if it's a Cessna 180 or the hottest glass panel composite plane, it's all there on Wings to Adventure. Now, it's on the Outdoor Channel, so if you don't get it on your local system, be sure to let them know you want to see this. Go to wingstoadventure.com. You can see what our lineup is. We hope to see you there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 12, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Police in Roswell, Georgia, are investigating an apparent murder-suicide in that Atlanta suburb. We're mentioning it here because it involves 52-year-old Robert Carson, a former air traffic controller at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. Police told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that on the day he turned 52, Robert Carson shot his wife, Helen, as she lay in bed, then pointed a handgun at himself and pulled the trigger. The bodies were discovered Monday in the upstairs bedroom of the couple's home by Helen's brother, Al Knoll, after Helen failed to report to work. Knoll said the couple was planning on selling their home and moving to Panama City in Florida, where Carson hoped to return to work as an air traffic controller in a location which would allow deep-sea fishing. The only previous contact the couple had with police was in 2002, when a loud argument prompted a neighbor to call 911. The Eurofighter Typhoon is the Royal Air Force's newest and most capable jet aircraft. Aero News learned this week Typhoon F-2s were placed in operation June 29th with the Quick Reaction Alert element of UK Air Defense at RAF Coningsby, Lincolnshire. Over the next 9 months, those planes will replace Tornado F-3s, which have served in the role for many years. The first operational unit is No. 3 Fighter Squadron, which received its first Typhoon in March of 2006 and is the lead squadron for developing RAF Typhoon air defense operations. QRA refers to aircraft held in constant readiness to take off within minutes without warning to protect the skies over the UK. Chief of the Air Staff, Sir Glenn Torpy, commented, quote, "The Typhoon is one of the most advanced aircraft in the world and gives, for the first time in many years, the RAF a world-beating multi-role capability that is an essential part of the UK's front line," unquote. A U.S. Marine Corps MV-22 Osprey tilt rotor made history on Wednesday, becoming the first Osprey to land on a non-U.S. ship. The HMS Illustrious welcomed the Osprey and its crew ahead of a U.S.-led joint task force exercise on the eastern seaboard of the U.S. Representatives of the U.K.'s Ministry of Defense tell ANN that the Osprey, with its vertical takeoff and landing capability, is ideally suited to work from the deck of the HMS Illustrious, which is currently the UK's high-readiness strike carrier. With U.S. Marine Corps Major Frank Conway piloting the aircraft, the visit gave the Osprey's crew a unique opportunity to demonstrate the aircraft's flexibility, as well as the versatility of the UK's primary maritime strike force. While there are no current plans to operate the MV-22 from UK ships, close cooperation of this kind is vital should the need arise for Illustrious to conduct operations in a coalition environment. The FAA invested $16 million into the process of siting and developing a new terminal for Myrtle Beach International Airport and authorized the airport to levy and collect $111 million in passenger fees to help offset the $229 million cost of the project. Now that the project has dissolved in bickering between the county and a local planning board, the FAA has rescinded the fee collection authority. Worse yet, the agency may take Horry County to court to force the return of all or some of that $16 million already received. County officials say, "Hold on, we were partners in this." The FAA responds by asking how much of the money was spent after it was obvious the proposal would fail. An ad hoc committee of lawmakers, city officials, and area businesses has been formed to consider a less costly expansion of the current terminal, according to the Sun News. Still ahead, Cessna takes Sebring under its big, high LSA wing. Spaceship Two's White Knight will be powered by Pratt & Whitney. And airlines rediscover the first-class market. You're listening to Aeronews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 12, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. Sport Aviation Expo, which is held annually in Florida, is very pleased to announce that Cessna has agreed to be the sponsor of Expo 2008, which will be held January 17th through the 20th at Sebring Regional Airport. As ANN reported earlier this week, Cessna just announced it will proceed with development of a light sport aircraft, joining more than 30 other companies which already serve the sector. Sebring organizers say Cessna's announcement provides concrete evidence that the aviation community considers light sport aircraft to be of critical importance to the future of general aviation. The Expo, which kicks off the annual aviation show season in the U.S., is aimed at the LSA community. It will include over 150 aircraft on display and available for demonstration flights. New concepts in aircraft design and manufacture will be on display. The show provides a forum for the development of business relationships, in addition to enabling potential plane buyers to see, try out, and compare the offerings of the entire LSA community in one place and time. Pratt & Whitney Canada's PW308 turbofan engine has been selected by the Spaceship Company, that's a joint venture of Virgin Galactic and Scaled Composites, to power the White Knight II launch aircraft for the world's first commercial passenger suborbital spaceship. Virgin Galactic is the launch customer for the Spaceship II system, having ordered five of them, with options for a further seven or more White Knight IIs. White Knight II is currently under development by Scaled Composites. It will take off like an airplane with a manned Spaceship II attached underneath. It will launch SS-2 into suborbital space from about 50,000 feet. The first flight of White Knight II is planned for 2008. Designer Burt Rutan praised Pratt & Whitney's enthusiasm for the project. Quote, "The PW308 is a great engine for our new launch aircraft," unquote. Rated at 6,900 pounds of normal takeoff thrust and equipped with FADEC, the PW308 provides a combination of cruise thrust, fuel consumption, and power-to-weight ratio considered best in class. Whatever happened to the idea that competition would drive some airlines to offer stepped-up customer service and comfort in a sardine can world? Well, there's finally progress to report. Airports and airlines all over the world are rushing to develop special services for discriminating travelers. Lufthansa's first-class terminal in Frankfurt, Germany, is separate from the airport. It features quick, painless security and immigration screening, a bubble bath with a rubber duck, or even a relaxing smoke in the cigar room. Then enjoy a ride to your flight in a Mercedes or Porsche. and board the plane via the pilot's private staircase. The carrier says such accommodations have bumped first-class ticket sales up by more than 40%. Virgin Atlantic has a clubhouse at Heathrow with beauty salon, cinema, and jacuzzi. British Airways is building 5 first and business class lounges in its new Terminal 5 at Heathrow Airport. That's set to open early next year. Cathay Pacific has a lounge in Hong Kong called The Wing. It boasts a noodle bar, library, and a bath facility it calls The Cabanas. Qantas opened new first-class lounges in Sydney and Melbourne this spring, complete with spas, libraries, and get this, chairside waiter service. The journal says the U.S. airlines lag in this area, with a marketplace dominated by a no-frills mentality. Several carriers, such as Delta Airlines and Continental, went so far as to eliminate first-class service entirely on international flights. Oliver Wagner, Lufthansa's vice president for airports, observes that, ironically, gaining an edge among well-heeled flyers is mostly about everything except the plane ride itself. Quote, everyone can have the same seats, same food, same entertainment, but where you can really do something is to improve the product and the process on the ground, unquote. And finally, an Oregon man took to the skies last weekend in a lawn chair with 105 helium balloons attached. Kent Cooch, a 47-year-old gas station owner, loaded his lawn chair with the requisite snacks, but also instruments to monitor his altitude and speed, GPS, digital camcorder, a cell phone, and a parachute. The Associated Press reported that he used 5-gallon plastic water bags with release spigots for ballast. Cooch told the Bend, Oregon Bulletin, quote, when you're a little kid and you're holding a helium balloon, it has to cross your mind. When you're laying in the grass on a summer day and you see the clouds, you wish you could jump on them. This is as close as you can come to jumping on them. It's just like that, unquote. His trip lasted 9 hours and 193 miles, according to the AP. He ended up in a farm field, short of his intended destination in Idaho, but happy with the result. To document the flight, local pilot Brandon Wilcox flew a plane nearby and took photos. His wife, Susan, was part of his chase team. Quote, I was terrified, but I was being supportive. I know once something gets in his mind, he's not going to forget it, unquote. So, will he do it again? He says that's up to Susan. Susan says she's not so sure. One thing is for sure. The next time your friends tell you your experimental aircraft is dangerous, you can now say, oh yeah, compared to what? And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Dr. Michael Trethewey, Vice President and Chief Economist for InterVistas Consulting. Dr. Trethewey has taught economic impact methodology at the University of Columbia and worked extensively in analyzing Canada's privatization of airports and ATC. We'll get his take on the FAA funding debate. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.